Beloved congregation, every year on the second Thursday in October, we celebrate Thanksgiving Day in Canada. And children, we are reminded on Thanksgiving Day of all the blessings that the Lord gives us. And in fact, every day we say thank you to the Lord for our food, for our Bibles, for our school, for our parents. But did you thank the Lord this morning too? For your pillow? For your shoes? For toothpaste? For clean clothes? Those are all undeserved blessings from the Lord. But did you ever think, and did your parents ever tell you, that if you do not love the Lord, the giver of all those blessings, that if you do not serve Him and repent of your sins, then all those blessings that you receive here now only make your life a little more comfortable on your way to hell? Did you ever think that? That's truth too. And that's another thing we need to remember on Thanksgiving Day. Yes, we can make long lists of all the things we're thankful for. But if out of thankfulness to the Lord we do not love Him and serve Him, then all those blessings will one day count against us. Yes, in Canada we have Thanksgiving Day. A statutory holiday even, with lots of tradition, good foods, family gatherings, activities. And it sounds like as Christians and as Canadians, we are thankful for our freedoms here in Canada. Still thankful for the freedom of religion, which by the way is in great danger, especially the Christian religion. The freedom of expression, which by the way is in great danger too, the Christian religion. Freedom of speech, that's in great danger too, especially Christian speech. So yes, on Thanksgiving Day, we as Christian Canadians need to keep in mind that we are first of all Christians. And then Canadians. And yes, as Christians, we are thankful, are we not, that we may worship here in this beautiful church, that we may worship in a way that we believe God has set forth for us in Scripture. But as Christians, we realize, don't we, that unless we receive these blessings as coming from God our Father, through God the Son, then we are not thankful. And we're just like all the children, like when I was in a little kid in public school, and we had to make a list too on Thanksgiving Day. What are you thankful for? And we all had our lists. But none of them thankful for the blessings of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and what we have in Him. Because as Christians, when we make our lists for of all the benefits for which we are thankful, we begin and end with the exclamation of the Apostle Paul, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." All other gifts merely support that gift. Flow out of that gift. Well, this morning, we're going to hear from an Old Testament saint how to celebrate Thanksgiving Day as God's people. We're going to do that from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. This is God's word, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Thanksgiving for the Lord's benefits. First, expressing that thanksgiving, and then secondly, listing those benefits. So first, expressing that thanksgiving. Psalm 103, David is singing of personal mercies that he himself had received from the Lord. The psalm begins with and ends with the same phrase, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." The psalm has no petitions, no prayer, no supplication, no command for thanksgiving. It's just an overflowing gratitude and thanksgiving that bursts forth into a song. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When we say that God blesses people, and here we hear that people are called to bless God, then that word bless has different meanings, doesn't it? When God blesses us, He bestows favors upon us and mercies. He gives us everything we need for body and soul. He delivers us from evils. He's the source of our present comfort and of our future hopes. What it means when God blesses us, but in that sense, there's no way that we can be blessing God. We don't give Him anything. He doesn't need anything. We can't make Him any better than He is. We can't give Him higher excellency. We can't increase His happiness, His joy. So what does it mean then when David says to his own soul, "Bless the Lord, O my soul"? To bless the Lord means to humbly acknowledge those divine attributes of God that make Him the best and the greatest of beings. To acknowledge that He is the only object worthy of our highest adoration, and to give Him the praise due to His name. To bless the Lord is to use all our power to show forth our high esteem of Him and of His excellent greatness. To declare to all around us as loudly as we can the goodness and the grace of His love toward us and our infinite obligations for all our enjoyments to Him in whom we live and move and have our being. When we bless the Lord, it arises from a heart that is full of great and high esteem and gratitude for this God. And that puts life into our songs of praise. David addresses himself. You see that more often in Scripture, right? Self-talk. "Why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul?" Psalm 42. Here, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He knows that the Lord is mainly concerned with our soul, and that it is the soul's work to bless the Lord. Our soul that refers to our inner man, our inmost being, who we really are, not just our intellect, but our whole being. "And all that is within me, bless His holy name." That name, the Lord, the I am who I am, the unchangeable one. Bless His holy name. That's the Old Testament name of the Lord. In the New Testament, the name of the Lord means the name Jesus. Jehovah salvation. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless the Lord. What is all that is within me? What is that? Well, think, for example, of your conscience. Let your conscience bless the Lord by unwavering faithfulness to Him. Let your judgment bless the Lord by making decisions that are in accordance with His Word. And by behaving according to the Word of God. Let your imagination bless the Lord by pure and holy meditations on His Word. Let your affections praise the Lord by loving whatever He loves. Let your desires bless the Lord by seeking His glory in all that you think and say and do. Let your memory bless the Lord by not forgetting any of His benefits. Let your thoughts bless the Lord by meditating on all His perfections and who He is in Christ Jesus. Let your hope bless the Lord by longing and looking for the glory that is to be revealed. All that is within me, bless His holy name, that holy name of the Lord, that only holy name. There is salvation in no other name under heaven given among men, but by this name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord, O my soul, he says. And then he says it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And he's not using vain repetitions that Jesus speaks about in the New Testament. No, the Holy Spirit is guiding David's pen here. So that when we read this in the year 2019, he shows us that we need again and again to stir ourselves up. And we are about to worship the Lord. Would it not be shameful to offer anything less than the utmost that our souls can render to the Lord? All that is within me, bless His holy name. Forget not all His benefits. This really touches a sore spot. For me, anyway, maybe for you too. The secret cause of so much ingratitude is our forgetfulness. The fact that we do not remember. The fact that we don't actively sit down at times and gather all those threads of mercy that the Lord has shown us throughout our whole lives. We are prone to forget all His benefits and not to remember any of them. And we focus instead on all these things that are against us. As Jacob said, all these things are against me. Forgetting all His benefits. And benefits here is a reference to divine dealings of the Lord with His people. In Hebrew, there's a word that's difficult to translate, but it means the Lord's well-doing to His people. What the Lord does well to His people. What God has done as a reason for blessing His name. And the Lord's dealings with the psalmist here are cause for praise and gratitude. What those dealings are, he's going to specify in the following verses. All these benefits, everything a believer receives from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. David doesn't bless the Lord's name in Psalm 103 for food and clothing and shelter. He's not concerned here with the outward blessings of prosperity. He's not concerned with the benefits of daily life that he has in common with all others, with the ungodly too. No, you see, for a Christian Thanksgiving Day, we go deeper. We don't stay on the surface. We go deeper. And what David compiles is a list of his blessings. And what he really does is from here in Psalm 103 in the Old Testament, he drives straight to the cross of Christ. That's where he ends up. So, expressing that thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. What are those benefits? He lists those benefits. That's our second thought. Listing those benefits. Of all the possible dealings of the Lord in his life that David could list here, this is how he chooses to list them. And then let it be for us too. An example, when we start to think of what should we be thankful for. And the very first thing he says is, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your iniquities. That's the very first thing that comes to his mind. Who forgives all your iniquities. That's the first benefit that he receives from Christ. The forgiveness of his sins. And is that not a most valuable benefit? It is a present benefit. He forgives. Now, it's a continual benefit. He keeps forgiving. It's a divine benefit because it is God who forgives. And it is a far-reaching benefit. It removes all your iniquities. All the sins of omission. All the sins of commission. Original sin. Actual sin. He forgives. All your iniquities. Dear believers, sometimes we want to sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings, name them one by one. And we say, we'd never be done. Well, now think about this. Count your many iniquities. Name them one by one. And you will never be done either. They can't be numbered. They are an unbearable burden. The Bible says, and under that burden, your soul can in no wise lift up herself. But our text says, he forgives them all. He relieves you from them all. He takes that dreadful, unbearable burden from your back, lifts it off, and makes you free. He does not forgive some of your iniquities. He does not just forgive many of your iniquities. It doesn't even say he forgives most of your iniquities. That would not do, would it? Isn't that true? If there was one, even the smallest sin that was not forgiven, in thought or word and deed, we would be just as badly off. We'd be just as far away from God. We would be just as unfit for heaven. We would be just as exposed to hell as though the whole weight of our sins were still on us. Dear believers, ponder this gospel fact deeply. When God forgives your sins, he does it according to the measure in which Christ bore those sins. Christ did not only bear some of your sins, or many of your sins, or most of your sins. He bore them all. And that's why the Lord forgives them all. Every single one. God's forgiveness is equal to the length of Christ's atonement. And Christ's atonement stretches to the length of every one of the believer's sins. Sins of the past, of the present, and of the future. All of them. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us, says John, from all sin. 1 John 1 verse 9. You consider that this morning on Thanksgiving Day. He forgives all your iniquities. That's true for every single believer here this morning. And what does the apostle write? Forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's why. As far as the east is from the west, later on in Psalm 103, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Unbelievers here this morning, what do you say to this? Some of you are saying, yeah, but that, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. That's right. You don't. You don't believe. You don't believe Jesus. When Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. This is what gives rest for your soul. That He forgives all your sin, but you don't believe it. That's the trouble. You don't believe it. Oh, believe Him who cannot lie. So that's the first benefit is forgiveness. And secondly, who healeth all thy diseases. That's a parallel passage. It's not talking so much about healing physical diseases and physical healing. There are those of God's children who have died of diseases. This is not a reference to that. Our body, it's true, experiences the consequences of sin. Our bodies are subject to many infirmities and injuries and illnesses and diseases. But the soul is subject to just as many. Think of just a few with me. Think of pride. What is pride? It's like a vicious virus. And anger. Anger is just like a burning fever. It needs healing. Think of greed. Greed is like a growing cancer. Lust is like leprosy. Laziness is but being paralyzed. There's all diseases. Who's going to heal me of all these infirmities? Whether you call them sins, then God forgives them. Or if you call them diseases, He heals them all. That's all one and the same benefit here. It's all according to His kindness. He forgives all thine iniquities, equaling He heals all thy spiritual diseases. And we have just cause to exclaim with the Apostle Paul, don't we, like we did yesterday? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has healed all my spiritual diseases. Forget not all his benefits. The benefit of forgiveness, the benefit of spiritual healing, and then, who redeems thy life from destruction. So that's a third benefit. And it's redemption. Redemption. The Lord redeems us by purchasing us and by power. And he redeems us from the spiritual death into which we have fallen and from the eternal death that would be its consequence. He redeems thy life from destruction. See, David, in his lifetime, children, you know about David, he had many deliverances. Many times he just escaped by a hairbreadth. He tells of that, the jaw of the lion and the paw of the bear threatened to kill him. Other times it was people, ruthless men. The hand of God spared him from Goliath's sword and from Saul's javelin. Delivered him from the Philistines, preserved his life from his rebellious son. All of those things David could be listing here. But he doesn't. He speaks of redemption. Redemption is a far greater deliverance. He redeems your life from destruction. From destruction. What is that? The redemption of his life? Well, see, David here in the Old Testament is looking far forward. And on the horizon he sees a cross on Calvary. And he sees him who became a partaker of our flesh and blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would have the right to redeem our souls from death by dying on that cursed cross in our place. That's what it means to redeem your life from destruction, from death, from the grave, even from hell. In Job it says this, then he is gracious unto him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. And that ransom is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget not all his benefits. The benefit of forgiveness, the benefit of healing, the benefit of redemption. And then a fourth benefit that he lists here. Being crowned. You could say coronation. Every child of God receives a crown here already. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Yes, the mercies of the Lord are very tender. And his kindness is very loving. And these are exceedingly abundant in the Lord Jesus Christ. They crown us. In a way, they adorn us. They are our life. Completely undeserved. Completely free. The Lord crowns you, dear believer. He surrounds you with a crown of loving kindness and tender mercy. And loving kindness here is the word that is used for his covenant love for his people, displayed most clearly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you remember the Lord Jesus wore a crown too here on this earth. And it was not a crown of loving kindness and tender mercies. It was a crown of thorns that they used to mock him. And he wore that crown, beloved, so that you may be crowned with the Lord's tender mercies and the Lord's loving kindness. Wearing that crown, Jesus was forsaken on the cross by his God, so that you today will not be forsaken, and that you today may wear your crown, a crown of loving kindness and tender mercies that the Lord bestows on you. So that you in turn can bestow loving kindness and tender mercies to those in your life. Four benefits so far. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, crowning, coronation, and there's one more, satisfaction. Before we look at that, we're going to sing. Number 16, verses 1, 5, and 6. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things. In Hebrew, it's better translated like this, who is filling with good your soul. No human being is ever filled to satisfaction except a believer. We're the only ones in this world who can ever be satisfied, and then only God Himself can satisfy them. And God satisfies the soul of man. That the most noble part of you. And soul satisfaction that calls for soul praise. Your mouth is filled with good things. And it is bound to speak good of Him who has filled it. And our Lord bestows only good things. And really good things. It's not vain toys or idle pleasures. He's always giving His people good things. From moment to moment, He's satisfying our soul with good. And shall we then not be praising Him? One commentator wrote this, if we never cease to bless Him until He ceases to bless us, we will be blessing Him eternally. That's true, isn't it? He will ever be blessing us. And what does the Lord satisfy us with? Good things. Not rich things. Not many things. Not everything that I ask for. Not what I think are good things. But good things. And sometimes good things come in the form of afflictions. Sometimes good things come in the form of trials. Sometimes good things come under the name of cancer. Under all of that, He satisfies your soul with good things. All your need is and shall be supplied with every good thing. The Lord promises that. My God, He says, shall supply all you need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, verse 19. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus says this to fathers. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? There's that phrase, good things, again. What are those good things here? Well, in the parallel passage of the Sermon on the Mount in Luke 11, it says this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So those good things, if not limited to the Holy Spirit, He's the main part of those good things that we ask for. He satisfies your soul with good things.
lives,
so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Those of us who are getting a little bit older, we read that and we say, I'm not so sure. That strength being renewed and having like a new lease on life. David experienced something like that. He was restored to his former self, that he felt young and strong again. Strong as an eagle. An eagle is a bird that can look at the sun with his bare eye. Who can mount above the storms on his wings. Who's the strongest and the most majestic and the biggest soaring bird. So renew your youth like an eagle's. In Psalm 102, the prior psalm, the psalmist had said, I am like an owl in the desert. And there it means that he's just a lowly owl sitting in the desert, lonely and lowly. And yet here in our text, he's flying on high with the eagle. The Lord can do that at times. It makes such a change in our hearts and in our minds and our lives. And we are soaring like eagles. And we learn to bless His holy name. Why is it, dear believers among us, why is it that in our spiritual life, there is so rarely spoken of the eagle? And more often, the sparrow alone on the housetop. Psalm 102. Why is that? Could it be? Could it be that we are not satisfied with the good things of which David here speaks? Do we live so little on the good things, the best things that God has to bestow? His forgiveness of all our sins, His healing of all our spiritual diseases, His redemption of our lives from destruction, His crowning us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfying our souls with good things. Do we forget? And do we live so little? And are we so dissatisfied that the Lord would give us His Son, His Word, His Holy Spirit, His grace? It's only through these things that we attain that lasting renewed strength. And the eagle is an emblem of that, of unfading youth of the heart. Maybe you know some Christians, very old on the outside, but their heart inside them, it's soaring like an eagle. Can't hold them down. That's what it's referring to. Dear children and young people, in the youth of your life, meaning right now, seek that undying youth. Above all the joys that life can offer you. And remember what the Lord said. Those who seek me early shall find me. Middle-aged believers, you once thought you were soaring like an eagle too. You can recover that. Go back to the cross. Go back to the Lord Jesus Christ in living fellowship with Him. He's the one who makes all things new. Christ Jesus the Lord. And old friends of Christ and of His God. In the Bible it says that a gray head is a crown here on earth. But there is a crown awaiting you. The guarantee of your bliss in heaven. That renewed youth as the eagle. And you, Christian, who are sitting here this morning, so dejected, so downcast, why is that? Where are you looking? Are you looking to Christ Jesus on the cross? Are you looking to the Lord? Or are you just focusing all your attention on poor little me and all that's happening to me? Are you forgetting the benefits of the Lord? Let me try to encourage you just a little bit here. An eagle, I was reading this week, an eagle lets his wings hang down at times. And when he does that, it is only to soar with stronger flight afterwards. So if your wings are hanging down right now like an eagle's, and it's just because you're so tired, and the Lord will come and help you to lift them up again. But it's not going to happen unless you go back to Psalm 103 and you start living that. Psalm 103. And you start talking to your soul from the Word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Remembering all His benefits, that sin is forgiven. Its power is subdued. The penalty is taken away. And as God's children, we are children of the King, and we are honored and we are supplied. Our very nature has been renewed and we are born again, so that we are newborn children in the house of God, newborn and strong as an eagle. Are youth renewed like the eagles? And unbelievers, you say, that's all nice, but that's not for me. And it's true. It's true. As long as you're an unbeliever, this is not for you. This will speak against you someday. But it can be for you, even today, and it will be for you when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul, and when you repent of your sins and turn from that wicked sin of unbelief to the Lord God, He will receive you. He will not cast you out. That's His promise. And when you come to Him, then you will be able to join all the other believers. All the other believers. Say, oh Lord, we must bless Thee. And we will. Lord, you have withheld nothing from us. And so we will hold back nothing from Thy praise. With all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and our whole being, we will praise Thy holy name. And we will join David as he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel proclaimed in Psalm 103. Lord, we see here the benefits that are bestowed on your people through Christ Jesus the Lord, applied by the Holy Spirit under the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, how amazing is this? And how forgetful are we? Lord, we pray that for thy people throughout this day, we may ponder and meditate on these benefits that have been listed for us so clearly from the Word of God, and that we may speak to ourselves, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget his benefits. Remember them. Think about them. Meditate on them. Lord, bless thy people with increased faith, increased dependence on the Lord, increased adoration of our Lord, decreased forgetfulness of all his benefits. And Lord, please be with those who are still outside of Christ, who so far until this time have rejected him and his grace and his benefits. Overpower them today, Lord. Cause thy word to come home with power in their souls, that they would cry out with the publican, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, keep us safe throughout this week. Bring us back again together, we pray, on the Lord's Day. We may unite for public worship with thy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.